Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have to sit and hear your word. We just rest in your presence. And we ask, Father, that the word that you brought forth tonight would go deep into our spirit man's. It would go deep within our hearts. Father, let it cause us to be the people that you want us to be. Change us. And then send us forth to touch the rest of this earth. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about angels and chariots. How many know that God is using angels in this time period to do different things for us? All of these things that God is about to bring out tonight are prophetic, but they're also things that are part of everybody's that's in here and under the sound of my voice is life. And we need to start partnering more with the angels than we have been, not just something that comes up here and there, but just as a lifestyle, as a practice. There is a sound coming from heaven, the noise of the chariots of God. His mighty army of angels are on the move. It was a sound heard in the prophet Elijah's time when God caused Israel's enemies to hear the sound of chariots and horses in a great army. They fled in fear, leaving a bounty of food behind. And let's look at 2 Kings chapter 7. You take a little bit of the low off this mic. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. So that evening, the four lepers went to the Aramean camp. When they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. The Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the sound of chariot horses and a large army. So the soldiers said to each other, "The king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and Egyptians to come against us." The Arameans ran away early that evening. They left everything behind. They left their tents, horses, and donkeys and ran for their lives. I believe the Lord is saying to many, "I am setting you free from fear of your enemy on the ground. I am setting you free from fear of your enemy on the ground. I am giving you ears to hear the sound of marching from heaven." As God said to David, "When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, advance against the Philistines, for you will know that I have gone before you." 2 Samuel 5:24. We're in the midst of many enemies right now, enemies to the gospel, enemies to our prophetic callings, and enemies against those that God has sent forth to receive salvation. So we need these angel armies at work to proclaim the goodness of the Lord, but to also do battle. And we have to start proclaiming these things and believing in our heart that is happening. Not just something that we're telling you to do, but believing that God is going to follow through. The following are 9 lessons for us on angels and chariots. Number 1, understanding angels is a key to knowing God. Understanding angels is a key to knowing God. The Lord makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the winds, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. And that's a reference from Psalm 104, verses 3 to 4. How much do we desire God and desire to know him? Think about that. How much do we desire God and desire to know him? Not from a religious perspective, not from a perspective of, I need to be one up on the person that's next to me, or I need to be greater than Joel Osteen, but just from a heart sense of, I really need to know God. You know, it's going to take knowing God to be able to walk in the anointing that's needed for the moment. Do you understand that? You know, we're a prophetic church, and the prophetic is good, But there's a lot of people who need healing. And you have to be prophetic enough to know that this is the time to operate in the healing anointing. You have to be prophetic enough to know that it's time to operate in the deliverance anointing. And the only way you can do that is if you know God, if you know his heartbeat. And God is bringing us into a place where we're right on the pulse of what he's doing every step of every day and every moment. And the more that we understand this, we're going to be right in line with what he's doing. One of the names of God is Lord of Hosts. That word hosts in the Hebrew comes from a word. There you go. Thank you. That means a mass of persons, especially organized for war. Or as Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message Bible, he is God of the angel armies. He is God of the angel armies. We need to start looking at ourselves as being in a war. We need to start looking at ourselves being military minded, because with this, we are always on alert. We're always ready to do battle, and we're always ready to defeat the enemies that are coming against the children of God, not in our own flesh, in the spirit. This is a significant revelation of God in Scripture. It is a gift he is releasing right now. He wants us to know him in all of his fullness. How many of you know that there's angels that are working with Israel right now, protecting them? With all of the rockets that are being hurled against them right now, there's no way that that casualty count should be so low against Israel. It's the angels of God that are working to protect them. It's the angels of God that is speaking to Benjamin Netanyahu and giving him the instructions and giving the leaders of the army what to do and how to do. I'm completely amazed at how they blew that tunnel up and they set that whole thing up where the armies from the Hamas loaded themselves into this tunnel and they blew it up, killing that army. That's only God. That's only angels speaking to them, telling them, hey, do this. Go in this direction here. And God wants to do the very same things for us on our daily basis. Some of us have financial needs. God could tell you, go in this direction over here. There's a bag of money there. Pick it up and keep walking. The angel placed it there for you. But if we're not listening, if we don't know the heart of God, we're going to miss those opportunities. We're going to miss the things that God wants us to do. There's salvations that God is trying to bring us into. And, you know, God has put a pull for us to get out on the streets and get outside of the four walls. If we don't do this, we're going to miss that opportunity. But we can't be afraid of what's out here on the streets. Just this past week, somebody walked into a barbershop, shot and killed a 23-year-old man. Are you going to be afraid to go? Or are you going to know that you have God's holy angels with you and they're going to protect you? You have to know these things. And you have to understand that there's a severe warfare that's going on right now. The enemy is not playing. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to stop God's plan from coming forth in this hour. And we have to partner with God, have to partner with his angels, and be ready to go at a moment's notice. Angels give us overcoming power. Angels give us overcoming power. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Then Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I ask you, open my servant's eyes so that he can see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and the servant saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. They were all around Elisha. These horses and chariots of fire came down to Elisha. He prayed to the Lord and said, I pray that you will cause these people to become blind. You hear that? Blind. So God did what Elisha asked. He caused the Aramean army to become blind. Elisha said to the Aramean army, this is not the right way. This is not the right city. Follow me. I will lead you to the man you are looking for. Then Elisha led them to Samaria. Do you realize what happened there? Being led of the Spirit, God went and blinded all of those people with his holy angels. The Aramean army surrounded the city of Dothan. They were after one person, the prophet Elisha. It was a great army with chariots, horses, and armed men. When his servant became fearful, Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." At this, the servant saw a heavenly army, fiery, angelic hosts. Chariots and horses surrounded them. Not only were the angels more numerous than the enemy army, but they were also positioned higher upon the mountain. See, God has a strategy for each and every one of us, a strategy that is going to get us to the place that he needs us to be. And if we're listening in the spirit realm, you're going to know what that strategy is. And sometimes things that God is going to ask us to do is not going to make sense in the natural. Do it anyway. Do it anyway, because that's when God is going to show himself strong on your behalf. What chariot is coming against you today? Every one of us in here, every one of us under the sound of my voice have had strange events happen over the last month. If you look at some of the things that are going on within your life, they've never went on before. Sometimes it's multiple events in one day that are coming against you. God wants us to use our angels in these particular situations. The Holy Spirit is releasing faith so you can know, as Elijah did, that those who are with you are more than those who are with them. Do you understand this? Do you really understand this in the very depths of your soul? There are more that are with you than there are those that are with them. And all of us are in places where, even though there's people around about us, we're in places of isolation, we're in places of solitude, and God has done this on purpose because he's drawn us to himself so that we can hear his voice with a greater clarity. And we don't get tangled up in the clamor of the world, in the clamor of what the latest prophetic voice is saying. Because sometimes what the latest prophetic voice is saying is not right for your situation. Sometimes what the latest prophetic voice is saying is not right for your situation. And you have to be bold enough and in the spirit enough to say, okay, that's good for them, but this is not for me. This is not what God wants me to do right now in this particular point in time and season. And there's going to be angels that are going to be sent your way, and you need to be listening and in the spirit enough to know, all right, this is the right now, right for me word, right for this second, so that we can step into it and do what God is asking us to do. 2 Kings 6:16, Elijah said, "Don't be afraid. The army that fights for us is larger than the army that fights for Aram." Do you believe that? Or do you believe that the devil is stronger than your God? Is he stronger than your God? No, he's not. Angels appeared with chariots. Sometimes angels appear or are mentioned in the Bible along with horses and chariots, and it is most often in the context of battle. We're in a battle. Why chariots? Chariots are symbolic in the Bible of strength, power, and might. In ancient times, chariots were not only used for battle, but kings, as well as their leaders and kingdom representatives, rode in chariots. There's a reference for Genesis 41, verse 43. Perhaps this is the reason why God chose to bring his faithful servant Elijah to heaven in a chariot of fire. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. They were also used as a military weapon. An army that had many chariots was considered powerful. So earthly chariots were synonymous with human might. And chariots of fire, angelic vehicles, carry the might of heaven. These were a constant military presence surrounding God's people. We want the presence of God. And with the presence of God comes those angels, comes that might, comes that power. Do you realize that we're going to be walking in such power that people are going to be slain in the spirit that are walking around about us? And it's not going to be because we said, feel the power of God. They're just going to know that the presence of God is upon you. They're going to feel it themselves. You won't have to say a word. You won't have to do a thing, because that angelic presence is going to be around about you. And that angelic presence is another symbol of the power of God. Elisha was aware of the angelic armies and fiery chariots in the hillside, but they weren't his point of focus. His confidence was in God. Our confidence has to be in God, no matter what. These stories of Scripture remind us that angels are to stay in our peripheral vision. In other words, we know they're there. We may even perceive them. And even those of us who are discerners know that angels have a distinct, identifiable presence, but they are not our main point of focus, for our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Let me just see by show of hands anyone who knows when the presence of angels has entered the room that they're in. Anyone? Okay, yeah, there's a lot of us. There is a distinct atmosphere that changes, and that takes place. 5, knowing angels are near banishes fear. Knowing angels are near banishes fear. Being aware of the chariots of God was an antidote to fear that was so effective. Elijah prayed for God to open his servant's eyes. God is releasing courage to someone tonight. If you don't have courage, if you lack the boldness, now tonight is your night to receive this. You can be confident that God has angels waiting and working on your behalf. You can be confident that God has angels waiting and working on your behalf. We do not need to fear the chariots of the world. Instead, we can trust in the Lord's power to deliver us, as David wrote. He wrote in Psalms 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses, chariots, and many more people than you have, you must not be afraid of them. The Lord your God is with you, and he brought you out of Egypt. It was God that delivered you from the situation that you went through. He was the one who took you off the drugs. He was the one that caused you to get back control of your weight. He was the one that caused your finances to come into order. He was the one that straightened out your kids. Not you, but God's power, God's might on the inside of you. Many people right now are battling depression. It's just coming out of darkness, and darkness has fallen upon them, and they don't know how to get out of it. You're not going to get any help from your psychiatrist. You're not going to get any help from the medications that they're offering you. And I'm not telling you not to take medications, but I'm telling you that you need to realize that there's spiritual battles that are taking place right now, and the enemy is placing darkness around about you, and you need to have the discernment enough to know, God, I need more angels. I need more angels in my room. I need more angels in my car. I need more angels on my property. And you need to start crying out and asking for those things. And we have not because we ask not. There, you know, how many times do we have to hear that vision where God says that there's arms and legs and body parts and different things in heaven waiting for us to receive them, but we're not asking? And it's easy. It's easy to become humble or have a false humility and not ask. It's easy to get in the mindset of, well, I'm okay. God knows my heart, and he's going to give it to me when he wants to. But sometimes God is looking for us to fight. God is looking for us to persist in prayer. God is looking for us to ask and keep asking and keep asking, just like the widow that went to the wicked judge. She just kept asking and asking and asking and finally said, okay, I'm done. Here, just take it. Just go. God is wanting to see how serious you are with your requests. Do you really want souls? How serious are you about getting out into the street and getting those souls? You have to ask. You have to press in like never before. Trust in God is a powerful magnet that pulls on the resources of heaven. Trust in God. It's a powerful magnet that pulls on the resources of heaven. Why? Because God runs to those who have the faith. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. And when he sees your faith, when he sees all hell breaking loose around about you, and you're still standing saying, all right, God, you told me that their salvation is coming. And no matter what I see them doing, I see them in the spirit beyond what they're doing in front of me. I hear them beyond the cussing that they're doing to me right now, preaching your word. I hear them beyond the slander and the abuse and them slamming things around in the house. I see that vision that you gave me, and I tap into that faith that you put in my heart. I'm going to see those things come to pass. Not what they're doing right now in front of me. What you told me was going to happen is going to happen. God, I release your angels to go and deal with them. I release your holy angels to go and deal with their hearts. You know, how many times have we heard the stories of Jesse Duplantis? You know, angels went to him, Robert Slaird, and angels went to his daughter, and they shook them up so bad that they got saved. We can do the very same thing. Catherine laughs at me, but sometimes I say it's time to send the angels and bring about some holy destruction into their lives. We can't be afraid of this. Elijah prayed for them to be blind. He prayed, and as God is going to start asking us to do this. I believe this. For people to be struck blind in a moment, and then for them to come to us and ask for prayer, and then God use us to restore their sight. Then they're going to know that God did this. God was behind this. And that's when change is going to take place. Angels are messengers with a purpose. The Hebrew word for angel comes from a word meaning to dispatch as a deputy, Strong's 4397. And the word used for angel in the New Testament Greek, angelos, means a messenger or envoy, Strong's G32. As messengers, angels are sent by God on assignment, coming with power to act in a certain way for a specific purpose. I tell you what, sometimes when we're doing exorcisms and we start dealing with some of these prince demons, we ask for the prince angels to come and fight these prince demons. They instantly fall to the ground. They instantly have a change come over their face, or they start screaming, no, 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 we don't want the prince angels to come. They come and they do battle with us. They do battle for us. You're going to have to start calling upon those prince angels. And you need to understand there's a hierarchy of angels, because there's our everyday angels that we have. And then when you start dealing with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, you need to call on the higher level angels of God to deal with those things. The little ones can't do it. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they don't have the strength. But God goes in order. He goes in spiritual hierarchy. So we need to have the presence of mind and the presence of the spirit to know to call upon these higher angels. They're there. They're waiting for our instructions. There's many people that we know that have the archangel Michael as their main angel. And God dispatches Michael to do battle for them when they're in the utmost of hardships. Michael comes and a breakthrough happens and everything is set free. Don't be afraid to use those higher level angels. As messengers, angels are sent by God on assignment, coming with power to act in a certain way for a specific purpose. Psalms 103:20-21. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. God will dispatch angels for your protection and to aid in breakthrough. God will dispatch angels for your protection and to aid in breakthrough. We're going to need these. We need them now. This isn't something that's coming. We need them now to do the works that God has called us forth to do. Psalms 91, verses 10 to 13. Evil can't get close to you. Do you have that mindset where evil can't get close to you? Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. When you understand that you have angels that are with you each and every day, each and every second of every day, there's nowhere that you can't go. There's nothing that you can't do because they have your back. And when you have that faith level inside of you, you can go anywhere. You can do anything because you have the understanding that God is going to protect you. You have the understanding that as you're following the Spirit, you're not going to be in the wrong area. You're not going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you do, those angels are there to do their job and to do the works. Psalms 91. I want to read this again because you need to get this part in your spirit. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. 7. God is releasing angelic orders on your behalf. God is releasing angelic orders on your behalf. Daniel 10:12. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. We're in deep situations right now that's going to involve our persistence in prayer. Not us giving up saying God doesn't want to do this. Not us looking at the situation and saying it's impossible for God to break through. No, he's looking for us to tie our faith with his words and his love and stand. Stand when it doesn't make sense to stand. This is what has to be done right now. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. It's when you think about this, there's so many people right now who are going through, and one of the things that they think about or they say is, I don't know if God heard my prayer. I don't know if God is really with me. There's just that little sliver of doubt. And if we have that, we need to erase that. If we see our brothers and sisters with that, we need to encourage them out of it, because that's going to keep your angels from moving. That's going to keep the anointing from freely flowing inside of your life. And you don't want to entertain any bit of doubt whatsoever. It all has to go. And you have to be as firm as this angel was speaking to Daniel. Do not fear. Do not fear. Don't fear anything that's going on in your life. Matthew 26, verse 53. Don't you realize that I am able right now to call to my Father in 12 companies more if I want them, of fighting angels would be here battle ready. You ever read this scripture? This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus. I think he was talking to Pilate, telling him that he wasn't afraid of dying, if I remember this correctly. But he was telling them that I can call 12 legions of angels at this point in time. And I remember we did a study on this. At this particular point in time, each angel could kill 185,000 people. And that number of angels that Jesus said spoke would kill the entire world. It would wipe the entire world out. So he had this knowledge inside of himself in the spirit realm that he was protected. He was, no matter what, God could do this, but he knew he had to walk through the will of God. He had to complete that assignment. And some of us have assignments that God wants us to complete that are full of pressure, that are full of suffering, and we're just like Jesus going through these things. But at the same time, we need to have the mindset that he had. At any moment, I can call for 12 legions of angels, and this whole situation will be over with. Everybody understand? It's powerful. When God is talking about what he's doing with these angels, Psalms 103, verses 19 to 21. God has set his throne in heaven. He rules over us all. Let that sink in. God rules over all of us, but he also rules over the devil. He rules over his angels. Nothing escapes God's eye. And these principalities and powers right now that are doing their thing in the United States, that are running Biden, that are running Kamala Harris, that's not escaping God's eye. It's not. He sees it. He knows what's going on. And when he's ready to deal with these particular situations, they're going to be dealt with. Verse 19 again, God has set his throne in heaven. He rules over us all. He's the king. He's the king. So bless God, you angels, ready and able to fly at his bidding, quick to hear and do what he says. Bless God, all you armies of angels, alert to respond to whatever he wills. Whatever God wills, they're ready. From the moment you prayed and called upon God, this is going back to Daniel, he set angelic orders in motion to break open the way before you. Even your ineloquent groaning has moved him to act. That's powerful, because there's times when you just don't have the words to pray, and all you can do is just groan. You can't even get a proper help out. It's just, and you know, God, this is all I can muster up. This is all I can get out. But God even honors that and moves on your behalf, because even in that groaning that you have on the inside is faith. I can't do it, God, but I know you can. I know you can move this mountain. Exodus 2, verses 24 to 25. God listened to their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw what was going on with Israel. God understood. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. It so happened that as she continued in prayer before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart, silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." Hannah said, "Oh, no, sir, please. I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God." Sometimes these situations that God has us going through are the perfect situations to get us to the place where our heart is pouring out exactly what God needs to move. So don't despise your situation. Realize he's putting you in that press. He's putting you in that position so that he can get the right prayer out of you. And when he gets that right prayer out of you, that right groan, and I'm not talking about language. I'm not talking about words and being flowery with your speech. But there's a right prayer that he wants to come out of you in your situation that's going to press and move. With Hannah, the priest saw this. God honored her prayer, and she produced a child. She produced Samuel. God gave her her heart's desire. She wanted a child so bad that she got this prayer out. She got this groan out. What do you want? What are you asking God for? Have you given up in your faith on it? Are you willing to go as long as you need to go through whatever this situation is until you get the answer? Until God puts you in that right position where that prayer comes out of your heart and God says, all right, it's time. Think about this. So today, no matter how many enemies are stacked against you, your Father wants you to know that He has heard your prayer. And angels are present in response to your words. He has heard your prayer. And angels are present in response to your words. All of us are in situations where we're just busy, 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 busy. And there's just so much that's going on right now. And it's good to know that in those moments, you can just utter that groan. You can utter that prayer and God's heard it. It's so good to know that. Angels are abundant. King David wrote Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. That's a lot of angels. That's a lot of chariots. That's meant for you to understand that God is limitless. It's limitless. There's nothing that's going to escape him. And there's not going to be any point in time where the devil says, all right, I got one more foot soldier than you, God. I'm taking you out. Never. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. There's so many angels that they can't be numbered. We win. We won. Settle it in your hearts. You got wayward children. You got wayward grandchildren. Settle it in your heart. What God told me is going to happen is happening. I don't care what they do. It's going to happen. This is speaking of a heavenly reality. We don't need to have a scarcity mindset when it comes to the angelic. There's plenty. The power of God and the messengers of God are numerous. And you can be assured of this. When pressure comes against you, God's power is working for you. When pressure comes against you, God's power is working for you. Angels are not limited in potential. They are great in power. They are freely available, awaiting your Father's command and answer to your prayer. Angels are not limited in potential. They are great in power. They are freely available, awaiting your Father's command and answer to your prayer. 9, it's time to discern the chariots. It's time to discern the chariots. I believe that this is a significant word for this time. Discern the sources of power you see and ask, am I dependent upon the chariots of the Lord for victory? Or is this a chariot of the world? Is this help from God or a worldly source? Is this help from God or a worldly source? The deliverance team can't set you free. We can't do it. God can. God can bring an anointing that will set you free. Where is your heart at? Are you pulling upon God? I don't care who's there. The deliverance team is messed up. God, I need you to get in here and set me free. Where's your pull at? And you do have faith in your pastors and your ministers, but I'm talking about the deeper level. Sometimes don't you get tired of coming to deliverance after deliverance after deliverance? Where's your pull at on God? He's the source. Are you discerning His source of power for you? Am I dependent upon the chariots of the Lord for victory, or is this a chariot of the world? is this help from God or a worldly source? And I'm not saying don't get deliverance. So please don't be dumb. Listen to what I'm saying. For those of us who hunger to see God's power at work, there is a lesson we can learn from King Solomon, who gathered thousands of chariots into chariot cities. 1 Kings 9:19. Storehouses, villages, and villages for chariots and horses. Solomon built widely and extravagantly in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and wherever he fancied. He achieved a remarkable feat, but in doing so, there were three flags that Solomon ignored. One, history's example. Generations earlier, God commanded Joshua to burn the chariots of armies they conquered and not keep them. Joshua 11, verses 4 to 6. They came out in full force, all their troops massed together, a huge army in number like sand on an ocean beach, to say nothing of all the horses and chariots. All these kings met and sat up camp together at the waters of Merom, ready to fight against Israel. God said to Joshua, "Don't worry about them. This time tomorrow, I'll hand them over to Israel, all dead. You'll hamstring their horses. You'll set fire to their chariots. Why? Because God wanted his people to be dependent upon him. As great and as powerful as the United States of America is, if we don't follow God, we don't have a chance." That army, the military, God bless them. But if God is not with us, we'll lose every time. And there will be great loss of life. In the spiritual realm, if you're not with God, doing what God wants you to do, you will suffer great casualties. You will lose in the spirit realm, and you will cause people to go to hell. You will cause people to lose their salvation if you're not in time and in step with the will of God. God has told each of us in here that we're supposed to win and minister to a million souls. There's different times I believe that God has set us up to do that, but circumstances have come in and the enemy came in and snatched that away. That's a hard hit when you look back and you see everything that God has done, and then you're still sitting in a place yearning to do what God wants you to do. But you got to keep your faith. You got to keep saying, "God, I'm still here. I'm still willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. Just show me how to do it. I'm releasing my faith to you right now because I want to accomplish this goal that you put before me. I'm not trusting in men and women and stuff. I'm not trusting in the internet and YouTube to make me popular and famous. I'm trusting in you because you were the one that said, we're going to win a million people. Whatever it has to be done to do that, I'm willing to do that. I'm yielding my vessel unto you." He is the source of power. He's the source. And it's going to have to be on his terms and his way, always. Prophetic words spoken to him. God told King David that his son Solomon would have rest from his enemies. 1 Chronicles 22:9. "But you are going to have a son, and he will be a quiet and peaceful man, and I will calm his enemies down on all sides. His very name will speak peace. That is Solomon, which means peace. And I'll give peace and rest under his rule." The name Solomon means peace or peaceful. Strong's 80:10. According to God's word over his life, he would not need to stockpile chariots. Number three, the command of the Lord. God specifically commanded kings not to accumulate horses. God gave them specific instructions on how to choose a king. Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 to 15. "When you enter the land that God, your God, is giving you, and take it over and settle down and then say, I'm going to get me a king like all the nations around me, make sure that you get yourself a king whom God your God chooses. Choose your king from among your kinsmen. Don't take a foreigner, only a kinsman. And make sure he doesn't build up a war machine amassing military horses and chariots. He must not send people to Egypt to get more horses, because God told you, you'll never go back there again. Now, all of this means that Solomon was acting as if he were ignorant of God's command. At worst, he was in outright disobedience to God's word when God told him not to do this. Solomon neglected his greatest power by leaning upon the arm of flesh. Don't do this. Solomon neglected his greatest power by leaning upon the arm of flesh. The chariot cities were military power held in reserve, but Solomon neglected his greatest power, having right standing with God. If you don't get anything else tonight, you got to understand this. You got to have right standing with God. You got to. You have to. That means everything above anything else that's going on in your life, because that is what you need. God longs to unleash his power on our behalf. Which chariots are we relying on? When we obey God only to the extent of our human capacity, we limit him. When we obey God only to the extent of our human capacity, we limit him. Angelic hosts are on the way. The most powerful weapon you have is free of cost, yet it is pivotal to everything. The most powerful weapon you have is free of cost, yet it is pivotal to everything. It is the gift of right standing with God. It is his presence with you. Through this favor, you have power. You have angels at work on your behalf that can sweep aside opposition and overcome obstacles against all odds. Hear the sound from heaven right now. The chariots of God, his angel hosts, have been dispersed. And now is the time for you to receive. Now is the time for you to stand. If you're not in right standing with God, now is the time to do that. Now is the time to get in right standing with God. And whatever is in the way, repent. Repent. Repentance is what will draw God back to you. The altar is open for this particular point, for you to make sure that you have right standing with God. If you are not sure, now is the time for you to come and be sure. If you are sure, now is the time to just affirm your faith and to release yourself even more to the Father to come on the inside of you. The altar's open tonight.